But as the historian Gavin Langmuir, who taught for many years at Berkeley, has argued, or argued at least in the 1960s, in studying a series of secular textbooks on Western civilization, it is quite fascinating to see, so he argued, that this view of Jewish history has had a remarkable impact even on secular historical writing. So, for example, Jews are mentioned in the biblical period in a Western civilization course. They're mentioned perhaps during the lifetime of Jesus, and then all of a sudden Jewish history has no significance. Maybe there's a moneylender running around here or there. Maybe we hear a little bit about the Jews in the modern era. And of course, we hear about the Holocaust and the rise of the State of Israel, which in itself is very hard to fathom given the fact that the Jews had no longer played a role in Western culture. What Langmuir is arguing, and what I'm arguing, is that this particular Christian view, therefore, even in its secular form, has left its mark on the nature of historical writing for secular historians, and particularly for those students of Western civilization, of textbooks, who clearly had already tuned out the Jewish experience from Western civilization. One more approach I want to mention to you, which I think is important to put on the table, and then to discuss its limitations as well. That is a view of the 19th century. And here I'm speaking with great reverence about my own professional ancestors, those who began for the first time to study Judaism and Jewish civilization from an academic, secular point of view. This group of scholars were known as the scholars of this quote-unquote science of Judaism. They indeed were academic scholars, but they were also overcoming a world which still had liabilities for Jews, particularly anti-Semitism, which was rising in the 19th century and leaving its mark even upon the academic establishment. I'm thinking here of a man I will introduce later in the course named Heinrich Goetz. Heinrich Goetz. Goetz was clearly an important Jewish historian, wrote 11-volume history of the Jews, and left us with an enormous legacy of doing Jewish history, of writing Jewish history in the modern era. For Goetz, Jewish history is composed of two factors. Number one, it is primarily an intellectual history. It is a history of rabbis or of secular scholars and their ideas. It is not a social history. It is not a political history. It is not an economic history. What interests Goetz primarily was telling the story of Judaism. That is how the legacy, the intellectual legacy of the Jewish people was passed on from generation to generation. His story is therefore riveting in telling a story about the world of ideas, of ideological developments within Judaism. But there is a second dimension to Goetz which is equally interesting. For him, it is getting the record straight. Why have Jews been deprived culturally? And some say even morally, it is because of the immorality which was meted out to the Jew by the anti-Semites of the world. From time immemorial, for generations, Jews suffered the indignities of persecution and atrocities at the hands of those who hated them, particularly Christian civilization. And therefore, the record of Jewish suffering needs to be told, and the anti-Semite must be faced head on. He is the reason why Jews have been depraved. He is the reason why Jews don't have the cultural and political and social significance that other communities have. Clearly, what Goetz was doing, and he certainly represents a wonderful example of other 19th century scholars, his history was clearly apologetic. He attempted to show how Jews were entitled to full citizenship rights and that their culture was up to date and was rational. For him, it was clearly the fact that somehow the record had to be straightened out. The story had to be told so that Jews would no longer be seen as inferior as second-class citizens. And as a result, clearly when he came across something in the Jewish experience which he himself found less than modern, less than up-to-date, less than culturally significant for his own day, he would somehow sweep it under the carpet. He would somehow remove it. He would somehow hide it from view. For example, Goetz, as you will hear later on in this lecture series, did not like Jewish mysticism. He didn't like the Kabbalah. He didn't like messianism. He didn't like things that seemed to him very irrational, the worst part of religiosity, for him, religion was indeed rational. And therefore, for Gretz, there was a need, clearly, to define Jewish history in rational terms. And therefore, if you want to get a history of the Kabbalah, the history of Jewish mysticism, from Gretz, don't bother. It's not there, because he hid what he did not want to present to a modern reading public.